Blog Talk Radio.
Consultants and attorneys often featured on the popular news programs for families of violent crime to find answers and seek justice. The Crime Wire team, Vito Colucci Jr., private investigator and author, Denny Griffin, retired investigator and author, Tom Shamshak, former police chief, private investigator and instructor at Boston University, and Susan Murphy Milano, violence expert and author, are there on top of the crime at the top of their game. CrimeWire is the place for information, news, safety, and most importantly, justice. Our interactive website is www.crimewiresite.com. You can call in anytime during the show. The number is 646-478-0982. And remember, you can participate in tonight's show simply by going to the live interactive chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. If you are a friend or family member and would like to send the Crime Wire team information about an unsolved or suspicious death case or want to be considered for a segment on a case for a future show, email us at thecrimewire@gmail.com. Susan and Denny have the night off.
Well, good evening, Tom.
Good evening, Vito.
We have an interesting show here tonight. What we're going to talk about is three coaches that really wrote up a bad game plan, not only for their lives, but their students, their players that they had under their control. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to discuss three high-profile cases involving allegations of sexual abuse and sexual improprieties that are the buzz of the media and have captured the attention of the entire nation. Tom and I recently discussed these three cases on my radio show, Crime Time with Vito Colucci, PI, on the Business Talk Radio Network. With each passing day, more details are emerging about the allegations of sexual abuse by Jerry Sandusky, the former assistant football coach at Penn State, and the sexual abuse allegations involving former Syracuse associate basketball coach Bernie Fine, as well as allegations of sexual impropriety involving former freshman football coach Michael Pickering in the town of Westport, Connecticut. So we're going to be discussing all of these cases tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Sandusky, Bernie Fine, and one that's not as big high profile right at this moment, but is gathering steam every day, especially in the tri-state area here, Michael Pickering. It's an amazing thing, Tom. I said on Rita Cosby's show, I said to her, especially with Sandusky's case and Bernie Fine's case, the media, the news shows like ours, are going to have enough fodder for many, many, many months, because new things are coming out every other day on one of the cases, right, Tom?
Absolutely. Vito, let me just check in here. We've got a caller that's on the line here from area code 702. Hi, who's this?
My name is Dennis N. Griffin.
Hey, Denny.
Dennis, how are you, Dennis?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing
well.
We
thought for a moment maybe it was Jerry Sandusky or Bernie Fine.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be hearing from them.
No. Well, you know, one little known thing about Bernie Fine, that's the Syracuse, you'll appreciate this, Denny, the Syracuse assistant coach, is all last weekend, all Thanksgiving weekend, he thought he was involved in a movie, because every time he went outside or looked outside, it was so loaded with cameras and media crew and TV crew that he thought this was the sequel to Weekend at Bernie's number two. So, you know,
yeah,
do we have that? Where's the guy? Tom, you always promised me the guy with the snare and the cymbal, and he's never here.
Yeah.
So he thought it was Weekend at Bernie's, the sequel. And then his wife had to sit him down and says, Bernie, this is not good. This is not good stuff here. But, you know, let's start with this Sandusky. And then, and Dennis, stay on the line, too, because this these are unbelievable cases over here. This Jerry Sandusky, in case somebody was in Iceland over the last month and missed these things, he's the former Penn State defensive coordinator, okay, who right now faces 40 counts of sex abuse charges. This is taking place over several years. And the interesting thing about this Jerry Sandusky, and Dennis and Tom both know this, he has become his own PR person, let's say. I don't know where his attorney Amendola is while he's holding appearing on different TV shows and doing all the stuff that he's doing. Rock Center, I think he was on NBC News, all these kind of shows. And he has admitted, and our people need to understand this if they're not following it, he has admitted on camera and in interviews that he has horsed around with the kids. He has showered with the kids after workouts or other times. I hugged the kids, and I've touched their legs without intention of sexual contact. Now, Tom and Dennis, I've said this on some of the shows, and the thing that jumps out at me out of all those things he does is, what is it? Why is he throwing out this, I touched their legs? Why are you touching their legs, whether it's in the shower stall, wrestling on the ground, which a lot of these type of people do, because you're fooling around wrestling with a teenager or something. It's a way for that fella that gets stimulation by rolling around and wrestling with some of these kids here. What do you think about this, Tom?
Let me jump in real quick here, and we'll let Denny comment on it.
Sure.
My thoughts are this, that the you both know from your own law enforcement experience that when people begin to minimize their involvement on the legal aspects, you know, they're trying to say, well, I did do something, but it wasn't criminal. You know, and I look at that and I go, wow. I was really surprised to see him or to listen to him during the Bob Costas interview. And now maybe this is a novel approach from, you know, the criminal defense bar here. The evidence thus far is overwhelming. And maybe to stop the hemorrhaging, the attorney said, well, go ahead out there and try to put a good face on this. Are we next going to see this guy doing, is he going to be on Saturday Night Live saying, well, it was just a joke, I was just horsing around? It's grim. It really is grim.
Yeah, maybe he'll try to get a new show, Dancing with the Boys, instead of the Stars. I mean, you never can tell with a guy like this. I mean, he so boldly is out there doing these things. Denny, I mean, you worked so many of these things like Tom has and I have. And what do you make of this guy, how he's trying to plead? He's already given up. He's already has given up his, Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. Some of these things, Denny, could be played at his trial. These TV interviews, the newspaper articles, they'll definitely be brought up. Why is he going this route, Denny?
I can't understand it, and his lawyer must be, having major headaches with this. It's really bizarre, and I don't understand it. And you know, I was thinking about not just Sandusky, but all this child molestation and child abuse and so forth. I happen to be Catholic, and, you know, we're still, the Catholic Church is still paying out money for big priest sex scandals and abuse scandals. Now we've got the college thing going on here, and I doubt that this is the end of it. I bet you there'll be more stories coming out, true or not, but I think that we'll hear more allegations about coaches now, because that seems to be the current trend. And when I was in church over the weekend, the priest, the altar boy, was bringing him the Bible to do a reading out of.
Right.
Or the missal, I should say. And
right.
The the kid was a little off balance, and the priest grabbed his arm because he was right at the steps going up to the altar, and the priest grabbed his arm and steadied him, you know, so he didn't trip, and the priest kind of laughed and smiled at him, and I'm thinking to myself, I wouldn't have thought this a few years ago, but today I'm thinking, be careful, Father.
Yeah.
You know, you grabbed this kid's arm, you touched him, you made contact in front of the whole congregation here, so you know, that might come back to bite you. That's being very cynical, but I mean, it's really incredible, and I think I was terribly, as a Catholic and as a human being, I was very disappointed in the priest scandals and what I thought the Catholic Church did wrong by hiding some of these molesters and covering for them. But here you have people supposedly who are, you know, religious and trustworthy, and after them, probably the next bunch that I'm disappointed in is coaches, because they're again mentors. They have a major impact on the youth that they deal with, and you know, it's just to me incredible. And maybe not all these stories are true, but from what I've seen so far of the Penn State situation and Syracuse, I think where there's smoke, there's fire here, and I really think some bad things may have happened. And it's just, to me, terribly disappointing that people who the communities trust to watch and train and mentor their children are capable of this type of conduct. I know it's a small minority, but still, the fact that there are any of them doing it or who have done it is very disappointing to me.
Well, the whole thing, folks, is that there's bad priests, there's bad lawyers, there's bad doctors, bad coaches, all different capacities, whether it's child stuff, whether it's other type of felonies of some nature, be it money. I end my book with a big chapter of a priest that I had arrested by the FBI for robbing several million dollars from a big Connecticut church here. And he was sent away to jail. And what was probably going to happen with him, like it happens a lot of times with people, be it a Catholic priest or whatever, a lot of times with the Catholic priests, before everything hits the fan, so to speak, they move that individual. So, like, they'll move somebody from Connecticut to Bismarck, North Dakota, and give them a church there. And the Catholics nowadays, I learned a lot from my case, the Catholics nowadays screamed and yelled because they're not the same Catholics that my parents were in the 1950s, that the priest or anybody can say or do anything and nobody would bother to check on them. Nowadays, the Catholic people will watch every movement. They will watch the money in the church. They will watch bad priests. So, you know, you're having accountability now on that end, as well as, you know, this Sandusky started all this accountability now. Now you're going to have so many colleges and so many people from across the country are going to bring up cases where they were abused somehow. Now the whole key with that, like you know, Tom, is that you got to decipher them now. Is this somebody looking for their 15 minutes of fame? Is this somebody looking for a lawsuit after 20 years or something like that? So, you know, you're going to have to find out. It's a lot of tedious work by police officers and authorities to regulate that. Right, Tom?
Sure. Ferreting out the truth here is going to be a challenge for any investigative agency that has to confront, you know, what's going on here. But you know, when the theme here is, and again, you could have put in you know, cops, you could have put in Boy Scout leaders as well.
Sure.
What do all of them have in common? They're in a position of power, and they took advantage of that position of power and committed atrocious acts against innocent individuals, and it's really horrifying. I mean, when you think that you know, that Sandusky, you know, his reputation, who would ever you know, challenge that? When you look at the investigation of his particular case, you've got this assistant football coach now who is, you know, at variance with some things that have been put in the press. Him saying that he went to law enforcement and and you know, told them what had happened, and now law enforcement is saying, well, not necessarily so. Did Sandusky and Penn State get a pass because of their stature in the sports world? Now, I've got to tell you that in my lifetime, at age 61, I'm an avid sports fan. I referee professional hockey, avid you know, baseball fan, football fan. I coached youth hockey. I coached, was assistant high school hockey coach. I'm shocked at these revelations that are out there on the landscape with these people, and it just tarnishes everybody, and it's just so frustrating. We think we do a good job of screening people. You know, in the church alone, I have to go through a criminal records check here. I'm a lector in my parish, and anybody that's connected to the church in volunteering in any capacity has to, you know, go through an annual screening to make sure they don't have a criminal record. But what happens to these people, like with Jerry Sandusky, who is somehow protected? I mean, that's a question.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up about the churches and everything. I'm a deacon in my church, but I also do, not only in my church, but a couple other churches that I'm familiar with, the pastor and everything, I do background checks. Anybody that's going to go into the Sunday school room, that's going to be involved in whether it's junior church or whether it's going to be the teenage group, they send me the information, and we do a complete 50-state crim check. So it's unfortunate that nowadays you have to do that. And just looking at one of the blogs that one of our listeners wrote, when we were talking about the you know, bad this and bad that, and you just answered her, bad teachers, she put on here. Now, just look, and I know we'll get back to our assistant coaches here, but just look what has gone on around the country. Talk about a sick society. You got these 13-year-old boys, let's say 14-year-old boys, having sex with their hot 28, 30-year-old teachers. Now, you know, and a lot of people, you watch maybe a comedian at night, and they'll kid around about that. They're like, wow, how come that couldn't happen to me when I was 14? And that 14-year-old boy is kind of the hit of all the boys in his school. But where is the sickness? And a lot of times I've said this, and I mean very well by it, I would wish the penalty would be the same for those women teachers as they are for a man teacher that would go ahead and do something like this. Don't you think so, Denny? Why is there a double standard here, Denny?
I wish I could answer that question, but I agree with you, Vito. It's really something, and it's not only the fact that this stuff goes on, or apparently, well, we know some of it does, and other is still allegations. But and then when you find out, as we get into frequently on Crime Wire, is where the investigations, where sometimes these people are known about earlier, and for one reason or another, an inadequate or no investigation at all is conducted. Maybe it's because of status in the community or whatever, but. And then you know, the same complaint basically is made 7 or 8 or 10 years later, after supposedly all this abuse has continued for all these years. I mean, it's really it just drives me nuts, the whole scenario.
Yeah, and like you said, Tom, you have a, you know, you kind of said, like, well, how could this be happening? And you got a university that's a legendary university, Penn State, with a legendary Hall of Fame coach, with a legendary program. But, you know what's going to happen on this. Even more important than the criminal charges, okay, they're going to get hurt where it hurts them the most, in their pocketbook, because already many student-athletes that have said they'll go to Penn State, okay, after being wooed there for their great football skills or basketball skills, have already said, I'm not going there. Because the unknown here, Tom, is what the NCAA and the governing bodies are going to do to Syracuse and or Penn State and any other colleges. There could be another college tomorrow that somebody's accepted to, and they got to all of a sudden think over their plans, because that person may not play in a bowl game. That they may take the next 2 or 3 years away from Penn State. They can't win a conference title, and they can't play in a bowl game. So that student-athlete doesn't want that. He wants a chance to go to Hawaii or wherever the bowl game is going to be played, so he's going to go to someplace else. Do you think so on that?
I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, looking at the we could just shift over here to the Bernie Fine case. He was an assistant coach there for 35 seasons on that bench. His head coach initially, Jim Boeheim, I believe is how it's pronounced.
Yeah, Boeheim, Jim Boeheim, Boeheim.
Boeheim. He quickly came to his defense after the two ball boys had come forward and said that they had been molested. And then when a third accuser emerged, a fellow by the name of, I think it was Zach Tomaselli, he came forward and said that he had been abused over, like a 10-year period. It sets the tone that the people that they're vilified when they come forward. I mean, it takes a lot of courage to come forward. And I got to tell you, I mentioned this on your show. Our junior senator here in Massachusetts, Senator Scott Brown, authored a book, Against All Odds. It's a very good read. And he disclosed in his book that as a youngster, 9 or 10 years old, he was molested at a camp on Cape Cod. He never identified the camp, although the camp came out and apologized to him. And once Scott's revelation was out there, about a dozen additional campers have come forward to say that they too were abused by staff members at this camp on Cape Cod, which has since closed. And interestingly, one of the alleged abusers committed suicide within weeks of being identified as a pedophile.
Horrible. This case here, since you brought up Syracuse now and Bernie Fine, this is a third person that's come across now and accused the basketball coach of molesting him 9 years ago. You got a fellow, Bobby Davis, who was the first, then his Davis's stepbrother, Mike Lang, is second, and now this third party is Zach Tomaselli. But the thing about this case, the difference in this case from the Penn State case, is you actually need to have a legal pad and a pen to write down all the twists and turns in this case here. You've got this Zach Tomaselli, who is he said that Fine molested him in 2002 in a Pittsburgh hotel room. Okay, Fine touched him multiple times. He did this, he did that. Here's the first twist and turn. Tomaselli's father is saying his son is lying. Number two, Tomaselli, this kid who's accusing Bernie Fine, he was arrested on April on 11 warrants charging sexual assault and all different types of charges, really hardcore charges, 11 warrants on him. And, the father, again, is just saying, hey, his father's name is Fred. He said, hey, this never happened. This never happened. I know about what my son is saying. I know the date in question. He never spent the night in Fine's hotel room, all things like that. And then, now the last couple of days, folks, you got Bernie Fine's wife. You have this Bobby Davis, the first accuser, who said that Fine started molesting him in 1984 and the sexual contact continued until he was 27 years old. He was a ball boy for the Syracuse team. He says now that he had a full-blown affair with Lori Fine, the wife, and it was okay with the husband who let him do it. So, I mean, you got so many. I remember the line. This is so confusing. I remember the line in the famous movie Moonstruck, the Italian movie with Cher in it, one of my favorite movies. At the end of the movie, when they're all sitting around the kitchen table, the 90-year-old grandfather, when he's hearing who's going to marry who and everything else, the son says, Pa, what's the matter? And the grandfather says, I'm so confused. That's the line they end the movie with. And that's how you are in this case. because if you don't read at least the 4 or 5 pages that give you a recap on this, right, Denny? The boy is not only being assaulted by Bernie Fine, he's having an affair with Fine's wife, and he goes to Bernie, it says in here, and he says, I have to tell Bernie, I have to tell him, he's going to be furious, and Bernie says, oh, that's okay, go ahead. I mean, is this absolutely incredible? Now you've got the father that a lawyer said to me that the prosecution could use on their side to testify against his own son by saying this is a lie. I mean, not the prosecution, whatever happens, whether it's civil or whatever, the other attorney or whatever happens on this. Is this amazing, Denny?
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. And I listened more than once to that tape that played on ESPN, this phone conversation between Davis, the alleged victim, and Mrs. Fine. And the more I listen to that, I just don't know how you can spin that to be anything but bad. I mean, I don't think, no matter how good a lawyer is, it's going to be difficult, I think, to make this sound innocent. And then you wonder, she indicated, Mrs. Fine did, the way I understood the tape, that she was aware of other possible victims.
Mm-hmm.
Husband had and said how weird he was and blah blah blah, and then she has an affair supposedly with the guy, now an older version, an adult, young adult version of him that her husband supposedly been molesting for years. And I got to wonder, you know, if she was aware of all this, did they have one of these, what would you call them, an open marriage where,
yeah, I mean, they probably each were allowed to do whatever they wanted. And Denny, like you know, this guy, Bobby Davis, audio taped his phone conversation with Lori Fine back in 2002, and the voice recognition expert already verified the voice that it is Lori Fine. So I think this could be the smoking gun in that case, because it's just saying everything that exactly went on. I mean, and she ends it by saying something like, he has a nasty attitude, talking about her husband, things like that. You got to be careful. You got to watch out for him. He's just that type of person. And it's incredible. I mean, as far as people that follow these things and like the juicy stories, I think this is the more juicier than anything you're going to get, that's for sure.
Can I just comment real quick? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this one's got the whole deal. I mean, you know, that sells magazines and sells...
Yeah, this is your made-for-TV movie, Denny.
Yes.
Now, well, what's interesting for me, you know, as an investigator, imagine if you're called upon, the three of us, to work, you know, one side or the other, in the civil arena, you know, that you're pursuing something for the plaintiff or you're pursuing, you know, the defense theory here. So our investigative methodology for both sides is going to be documentary evidence. You know, was Zach, mm-hmm. can you prove that Zach Tomaselli was in fact elsewhere at the time that he claims that he was in a hotel with Bernie Fine? So we're going to do records research on that for documentary evidence. Secondly, a PI is going to have to do a lot of interviewing of, you know, the people to acquire some testimonial evidence here, and then reconstruct via a timeline. Where were all these people? I mean, there's a lot of investigative work out there to be done. Don't you agree?
Oh, it's incredible. And not only that, you know, Tom and Denny, I've sat in lawyers' offices, defense attorneys' offices, where it's been the defense attorney behind his desk, me sitting on the side, and the defendant. Let's say Zach Tomaselli in this case, okay? And he's representing him. And now the lawyers just brought me in for the first time today to meet, decide what he wants me to do and things of that nature. Plenty of times I have heard the defense attorney look across the desk at the accused and say, okay, Zach, every time I pick up every paper across the country, there's something new in there that I don't know about already. And we've been meeting for weeks on this. You need to tell me everything, because I can tell you this, guys, no attorney likes to be embarrassed in court. That I know more than anything. I've heard that many times out of their mouth. Somebody will look at Zach and say, Zach, I'm not going to be embarrassed in court anymore. I'll bow out of this case. Tell me everything now so I know which way to proceed in my defense. Because, you know, they go to court and they're laughed at by the other attorneys. Can't you control your client? Can't you stop this? Can't you stop Jerry Sandusky from talking every day to the press? And they laugh at you. So then no attorney wants that, you know?
Yep.
So, Denny, how do you think this thing's going to play out with this? Do you think there's going to be more boys on this Bernie Fine Syracuse thing?
I would not doubt that at all. I'd be kind of a little bit surprised if there weren't. And I wouldn't doubt either that if the Fines had the type of relationship it's appearing that they had, that we might find out that maybe Mrs. Fine, had some more affairs. Or will be alleged to have had more affairs with some of these other students and stuff because they apparently were letting kids stay at the house. I mean, I guess that's what happened to Davis. He was living there, staying there for a while. He was a youngster. And the other thing about this whole Syracuse thing, which is a little different twist than Penn State, is you've got this turmoil with between the prosecutor and the Syracuse Police Department. And that adds another whole wrinkle.
Yeah, tell everybody a little bit about what you've heard from your contact. Because when Denny lives in New York State for part of the year, he's about 20 minutes, a half hour away from Syracuse University. So Denny has a lot of contacts up that area.
Yeah, and the district attorney, a fellow by the name of William Bill Fitzpatrick, he's been DA there for years and years. Supposedly when this complaint first was raised, back in 2002, allegedly by Davis or Davis's friend, there's some confusion as to what was done at that time. And the DA is involved now with this new round of allegations, the resurfacing of the Davis complaint plus this new guy. And apparently the DA's office was never informed of the 2002 complaint, and there's been records examined, you know, phone records and blah, blah, blah from the DA's office. And now the DA's upset with the Syracuse Police Department because they won't give him records. They refuse to share records with him. So he sent his investigator down to the public safety building, to the headquarters, to see what he would get in the way of records. And they told the investigator he would have to pay so much per page to copy anything, and certain records would not be available at all. And then as the guy was leaving, not quite sure what to do, he never run into this before, supposedly the deputy chief of police said, oh, by the way, when you get back, tell your boss to go F himself. And it was
my
not
gosh.
Said in jest. It was not said in jest. So then the DA holds a press conference, and he demands that the mayor, who's the ultimate boss of these, the department there, overseer of the department, that she takes some action. So you got this big subplot, if you will. You got the allegations of the sexual abuse, and then under the surface, or barely under the surface now, is this whole, I'm calling it a rift, between the DA's office and the Syracuse police. And I would think it might make entertaining reading and so forth, but I'm wondering what it does for the investigation. I can't believe it's anything that's going to be positive.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's so many twists and turns. And Tom and Denny, you guys both know this from working these type of cases like I have. It's you have the public, the general public, a lot of times don't understand things. And like they'll say to me now when they see these cases, well, Vito, how could that be? Or how come nobody did anything before? And they don't realize that Syracuse University is a powerhouse university, okay? Denny, you said it on my show. Jim Brown went there, top of ball players. It's a legendary program, just like Penn State. They wield a lot of power in the towns, in the city, in the county they're in. They bring in a lot of money to everybody from the restaurants, the bars, to the workers in the city, everything. And so, you know, when these things happen, you have somebody a higher up that maybe tries to tell an authority figure, can you try to make it go away or at least you know, bring this to some kind of a closure without it hurting everybody too much. It goes on. People don't realize these things go on. These are prestigious schools that are about to lose millions and millions of dollars in benefactors, gifts to the schools. I mean, what person's going to, what top multi-billionaire is going to want to send $5 million to a school that's on the front page of the paper? Because he's saying to himself, I can't do that right now, Mr. Chancellor, because that's going to look like I'm backing up this abuse of young kids. And then all my other things I got working across the country is going to fall apart on me because they're going to think I'm some kind of child molester. So, right? I mean, Tom, this is the mindset now of people.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, the economic perspective looms out there, as well as the political dimension to this. And who knows if something that has occurred in the Sandusky case where a relative now has come forward and disclosed allegations of abuse, if something like this won't happen with Bernie Fine.
Now, and don't forget, too, folks, on just a couple days ago, the federal authorities carried out a search warrant at Fine's suburban Syracuse home. And as of yet, they have not made any comment on either what they were looking for or what they found there. So that, you know, that could pop any day, guys, and we'll have a lot more known stuff here. But, you know yourself, you always try on a case like this, you always try to get the weak link in a case, which may be on this case would possibly be Lori Fine. If it gets to the point of severe charges and different things going on here where you try to link Lori Fine in her own way, because conversation, it's saying over here that I forgot where it said that he says he's going to take the kid to bed. He says, come on, right over here it says Tomaselli told the Associated Press that Fine asked him to get into the bed, and Fine's wife Lori was right standing there when it happened, and there was nothing unusual about it to either one of the husband and wife. So, you know, she may be, Tom, the weak link, you know how that works, the least culpable, or at least where you're going to cut a deal with somebody to get a whole bunch of other people, right?
Yeah, she could very well be the downfall here, because they could threaten her with being an accessory after the fact to child abuse.
Right, right. What do you think about Denny? You think they might go that route?
I think Mrs. Fine is going to play a role in this thing, probably a key role before the dust settles. I don't know. Supposedly now, Peter, I don't know what you've heard, but that somebody checked and this recording was all legal. So, from wherever the calls were taking place, I guess one person was out of state and the other one was in state or whatever. But anyway, the laws that were in effect about the taping phone conversations at that point did not require that both parties be aware the conversation was being taped. So it looks as though there's not going to be an issue as far as the legality of how that tape was obtained.
Oh, that's a good point, Denny. Very, very interesting point. Absolutely amazing. This is going to play out. There's between Sandusky and Fine, between Syracuse and Penn State, I don't even know if we're at the tip of the iceberg, because, you know, you could wake up tomorrow morning and you'll see breaking news down below on the screen on Fox News or whatever you listen to, and they'll have something else that'll make these other things sound weak by comparison. There could be another
yep.
could be another college with something going on. But, you know, it's everything, you know, the whole point, and Tom, you know this, you were talking about other cases with me today, this stuff that's going on around the country, not just colleges, just in general, the men, the women that are paying to get young kids, be it little girls or little boys, and people can say, well, you know, that's always happened. Even years ago, we just didn't have the cable news channels to promote it, to show. But I can guarantee you, never to the extent that it is now. People travel to foreign countries like Taiwan to do what they wish with little kids. I mean, it's a sick society. It's a sick thing that we're all getting to witness in our lifetime here. And, you know, when we see the colleges, many of the people that go about their business every day think that's the bulk of it, fellas, but that's not it. That's not even the things that go on nowadays with little children and scooping a little kid off their lawn and never seeing that child again, and who could be in the other part of the country or the other part of the world. Do you guys both feel the same way with me, like it's totally out of control with sick minds nowadays?
It is. Let me just share this with you. Yesterday, Monday, the 28th of November, 2011, an arraignment occurred in the East Boston District Court. A professor from University of in Utah was arrested when his jet landed in Boston. He was in first class, and another first class passenger observed this professor viewing child pornography on his laptop, and the other passenger texted his son to call ahead and tell the Massachusetts authorities that there's a fella here in first class who has pornography. Then the passenger alerted a stewardess who went over, looked at the images, and said, "Shut that down and stop it." And then this professor, who was coming to Boston for a conference, he began deleting the files. When they landed at Logan International Airport, he was escorted off the plane, taken into custody, and he's now facing possession of child pornography between the ages of girls with men and various sex acts, ages like they estimated 5 to 14. So it's crazy.
That is amazing, Tom. Denny, imagine that. I mean, we've all been on airplanes. You're in close quarters. Somebody across the aisle from you can see. I got to admit myself, sometimes you'll glance over to your neighbor just to see if they're watching a movie or whatever they're doing. But imagine how bad, see, what jumps out at me in this whole thing Tom said was how bad this man's sickness is, that he has to do this in close quarters with somebody right next to him. That's how bad. He couldn't wait till he got off a plane or go into his own stupid bedroom and do it. That shows how dangerous a man like that is, right, Denny?
I would say it does, and thankfully, you know, there was an alert passenger and so forth to bring it to the attention of the authorities. But let me tell you what I found and thought about is you take in the Penn State case, they're wondering if this what was he, an assistant coach then who witnessed supposedly Sandusky and a kid in the shower, and whether he did enough, you know, did he satisfactorily report everything and follow up on it. But talking about the pornography business, how many people when the person who's watching the pornography or have possessed it on a computer isn't so stupid to do it in public, if you will, on an airplane, but does it in their bedroom. They have the magazines, they have the computer, and someone in that household sees it. Maybe the mother is coming in to clean the room, maybe a brother, a sister, a cousin, the father, and they see it, and they do nothing about it. You know, there should be a red flag there. Hey, maybe my son or my brother or whatever needs some help here. Maybe, you know, this isn't right. But nobody, you know, they don't want to cause problems for their own flesh and blood. And so on, so they ignore it. And I know there have been cases where somebody is finally, you know, the ultimate happens and they eventually kill someone. They not only victimize them but actually murder a victim. And when the story starts coming out during the investigation or trial, you find out that somebody in that family or a close friend knew about this problem for years and kept their mouth shut, did nothing about it, because they didn't really know what to do. And the same thing, I think, possibly, you know, if you see something at your school, for example, like, you know, the coach in the shower with somebody you probably shouldn't be in the shower with, how much you need to do. And if you're a player, if you're another player on the team, are you thinking, you know, if I open my trap here, probably the school ain't going to do nothing anyway, and what's going to happen to me, I'll be collecting splinters on the bench. My playing days are over with here.
Yeah, that's a good point, Denny.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's very tough. But people, a lot of these things, probably somebody knows about them, but getting the people who know to come forward and raise the issue sometimes is easier said than done.
It's a form of peer pressure that you're alluding to, that they don't want to rock the boat.
I have the perfect next case for us to talk about when you're talking about peer pressure, because this is an area where there's a lot of peer pressure. This case has just broken, and it's just getting legs, and the news crews are just driving their trucks into the area as we speak. What's going on, this takes place about 20 minutes from where I am in Stamford, Connecticut. It's a little community called Westport, Connecticut, very, very rich area, a lot of CEOs there, hedge fund people, things like that. Well, what happened in Westport, Connecticut, just in the last few days, Staples High School assistant, and it's always, it seems like what's going on with all these assistant coaches, you know, folks? Assistant freshman football coach Mike Pickering was arrested on 3 counts of risk of injury to a minor. The charges are all felonies, and his bail was set at $50,000. Now, talk about an odd case. What this guy did, now you got to keep in mind, he's the freshman football coach at the high school. So now he's dealing with 14 and 15-year-old ball players, okay? They're freshmen. This is not like the two colleges we talked about. His excuse for doing this, what he did, in fact, let me tell our listeners what he was doing, that he gave the players on the team access numbers to all different pornographic websites that he had access to. His reasoning to the public was the guys on the team weren't getting along. I didn't like and I have trouble with this word, and my wife yells at me. How do you say that word? Camaraderie? How do you say that word?
Camaraderie.
All right. He said the team did not have that. And he felt by doing this, I mean, this, if these things weren't so sick, they'd be comical, these excuses we're hearing. He did that to get the team, the boys, closer together. I guess what he meant, like, you 5 offensive linemen, come over to my house tomorrow night. You other defensive players, why don't you all get together, hit this link. Now, what shows you how strange our society is now the big key point on this case is that you right now, in the follow-up headlines to this, you have a town divided. You have websites. You have half the town supporting him. I'm looking at a comment here. He was such a good guy. He shared the food in his refrigerator and the shirt off his back. And then you got the other end that's saying, hey, my son is 14. Who is this guy to hook him up and start him off in life with porn sites that he got so intrigued with and everything else that he has to watch every day? So this really shows you, Denny and Tom, in what you would call a sleepy community over here, of what these people, they love him. I mean, the comments, the good things said about him actually seem to be a lot more than the negative things. Not only was he encouraging, but he was a friend to his player and he loved his team. Think about being 14 and 15 again, Denny and Tom, and you got a coach that is handing you all the access codes so you can go home as any crazy sexual 14-year-old boy and start watching these things. Are you going to like your coach or not? Is this bad or what?
I think it's very bad, and I think they nipped this in the bud. This is, from my experience, this is the kind of early behavior in the grooming of potential victims. Find the ones that are, that are ripe for this kind of stimulation. Next, introduce some alcohol, and then next, it's a one-on-one. That's just my cynical perspective on it.
Denny, you want your grandchildren or your kids Do you think, you know, because you got some men, you have some fathers across this country that look at this, and in Westport, Connecticut, that look at this, Denny, as a rite of passage. Little Billy, go ahead, watch that stuff. You're almost a man. Go ahead. That's the logic with some of these guys, Denny.
Yeah, that is true. I think, Vader, that some people wouldn't find that to be the least bit out of the way. It's, you know, hey, but it seems to me that one of the coach's jobs, especially for that age group, you know, is to build the team unity and you know, working together and the morale,
mm-hmm.
and all the camaraderie, whatever you want to call it. But you know, that's, I don't think in coaching 101 that's how they teach you to do it, by providing links to porn sites. I would think that if that's his logic, I mean, if that's true, which is, I think it might be laughable, but if that's true, if he was trying to build some kind of esprit de corps there among the troops, and then I would say he shouldn't be a coach because he doesn't have what it takes to do the job the way it's supposed to be done. I mean, if that's what he's got to rely on to become a buddy or to do what he was claiming he tried to do, then he probably shouldn't have the job just for the, even if you say, well, it's okay for little Johnny to be going to a porn site, you know, your son, but the coach obviously isn't up to a coaching position if that's the way he has to operate to get his team the way he wants him.
Yeah,
so
because
he's going to be gotten rid of for that.
These are freshmen, Denny. These are little kids, okay, that are being introduced by and large to football. And, I mean, to say, well, they're not getting along, I don't think they're close enough together. What kind of a crazy excuse? But, you know, I'm reading one of these other comments that favors him. And it kind of makes you laugh in a little bit. I mean, Pickering's only charged with those other things. But one person said, when I tore my MCL, he carried my butt to the car like I weighed nothing. Now, you know, you can go a lot of ways with that comment, but, you know, he's not charged with doing anything wrong, you know. But,
right.
You know, this guy is saying, this kid is saying, hey, I tore my MCL. He picked me up. He carried my butt to the car.
A coach at that age, or dealing with that age cohort, is not only focusing on the development of athletic skills, but that coach is a mentor who is there to instill appropriate morals and to you know, provide some discipline, and this guy failed completely.
Good point. Yeah, I mean, some other old-fashioned coach would say, you know, he'd read, it's like a Vince Lombardi type of guy would read this and say, what? Are you kidding me? I say to my players, get together, go to lunch and start getting together and getting to know each other, because you're going to be right next to that guy on the line blocking people. You know, this guy came up with a novel approach to getting them closer with each other, you know? It's, I don't know.
Very unhealthy.
Sometimes with these cases we talk about, guys, if they weren't so serious and disgusting, they're almost comical, because you read these things and you think these things are made up, these comments, you know?
But, can I jump in and share something with you that happened
yeah,
today?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, on today, the local Fox affiliate aired a nearly five-minute story, and it has to do with a crew coach at a local charter high school who's also the chairperson of the English department. And it was discovered that he has made several porn movies that are out there on the internet for sale for like $35. And he was confronted with this by Mike Beaudet, a local investigative reporter for the Fox affiliate, and I sent a link to Vito, and anybody that wants to go check this out, it's at myfoxboston.com, and then just look for school teacher, aka porn star. Again, I mean, you know, this fellow hasn't been charged with anything, but again, is, you know, to high school teenagers, is this the kind of individual who should be in a classroom instilling, you know, morality to our youth? I just scratch my head.
That's, what's it, does it have his name in there? I forgot what you just said. Does it say his,
Paul Hogan.
Okay.
But his screen name was Hitchcock.
Unbelievable.
He's a gay porn star. I mean, when you got to look at it, it's horrible. The video that was aired on television tonight. They're rubbing each other's body, lifting the shirts, stripping down. It was like, oh hey, there's my English teacher.
Right. Yep. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, if it was a porn star, that was not a homosexual porn star. He'd probably be even more of a hit in school with his students, especially the boys. You know, because the boys would be saying every day, "Oh, Mr. Hogan, how much money you make for that? Man, you're cool. You were able to do this. You were able to do that." Not that he wouldn't get some of the same answers with the gay students. Okay, but you know, as we know by statistics, there's much more of the straight kids than the homosexuals. So I'm saying, you know, either way, he's going to have people looking up to him for his, what he does.
Yeah, earlier,
Alfred Hitchcock, huh?
And one of our chat room people here noted that Mary Kay Letourneau was one of the first teachers to get involved with sexual impropriety, and then eventually she wound up marrying that student.
And her attorney is our good friend Ann Bremner.
Yeah,
that was her attorney through that whole process. Was our good friend, and you know, Ann's a great attorney. She took on the case. Everybody needs representation, whether we like the scenario or not, and that was her style. But that was a very big case because that was really one of the first breaking ones of that nature going back. You know, you remember that one, Denny?
I certainly do. And Vito, is Coach Pickering, is he still working? Is he suspended, terminated, or nothing?
You know, I don't know. I don't know right now. He's got to be suspended because he's out on felonies. $50,000 bail, and all three of them are big felony charges. So I'm sure they're not going to – it's one of those things, well, you know, hey, go home, Mike, depending on how this plays out, you know, that whole bit. And even with saying that, no matter how it plays out, I think the school would have a right to say you're done here just by what – even if you were found not guilty, if you by your own mouth has said I did this and I did it for this reason, we don't want you in our school. I mean, so and he may be done teaching, for the rest of his life. So who knows?
Wow. You know, how about what do you think about the? We've talked about, for example, Penn State with Sandusky and the Bernie Fine in Syracuse. Now, Paterno, you know, legendary, you know, an icon, ended up taking a hit also because he was the boss, immediate boss, I guess. And now there's some rumors circulating around Syracuse that they're looking at Boeheim, Coach Boeheim, and whether, you know, depending on what comes out here, maybe he'll have to be asked to leave because maybe he should have known or should have done something. So, and I don't know the circumstances there. I've seen nothing to indicate Boeheim did know there was anything going on with Fine.
I think that'll be the key, Denny, just what you said. See, with Sandusky, it's already documented that so many people knew. But they didn't do anything about it, you know. With Jim Boeheim, the whole thing is going to be if somebody comes forward and says, hey, I know Coach Boeheim knew this because I told him and this other guy told him, then that's a different story. Then he'd be gone. Right now, like you said, Denny, it kind of looks like, he's still clean right now. Well, Tom, we coming to the end here?
Yes, we are.
All right. Let me give our closing here. Great topics tonight, guys. This was really, really interesting. Thanks to the Crime Wire team, our Director of Research, Kim Colton, and Public Relations team at Imagine Publicity. Our next show will be Tuesday, December 6th. Tune in as we continue to analyze cases and crimes that wreak havoc on families looking for answers and seeking justice.
Thank you for joining us tonight on CrimeWire. We always welcome your support and value you as our guests. If you would like your case to be featured on CrimeWire, email us at thecrimewire@gmail.com. To hear a rebroadcast of tonight's show, go to www.crimewire.blogspot.com. Turn on the volume at your computer and the show will automatically play.
Remember, we ensure that your voices will be heard when there is nowhere else to turn. Visit our website at www.crimewiresite.com. Good night and God bless from the Crime Wire team, Vito Colucci Jr., Denny Griffin, Tom Shanshack, and Susan Murphy Milano. Thank you and good night.
Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.